everybody. Good Sunday morning to you. I don't know if you know, if you've been around church for any length of time, you probably do, but today is Palm Sunday, everybody. It's the beginning of what is known as Holy Week, and so we will be celebrating, and I would encourage you to do it each and every day this week. Consider the path that Jesus took all the way to the cross to make available to anybody who would have it the free gift of salvation. Amen, everybody. So welcome to Palm Sunday here at Church on the Rock. It's really good to have you, whether you're in the building or if you're tuning in online. And what I've been doing recently is just giving shout-outs to different people who I know are watching. Today's shout-out is going to go to two of our very own. I want to say to the newliest weds in Church on the Rock, I want to say hello, Austin and Abigail. Congratulations. It was a great night last night, and we're super excited for you guys. Hope you enjoy the honeymoon when it comes. Good morning, everybody. Hey, if you don't know who I am, my name's Josh. I have the privilege to serve as the lead pastor here at Church on the Rock. And today's going to be a great day, I believe, because I believe God has kind of orchestrated some things to take place today. Not only that, but today is going to be the culmination. It's the final installment number 9 of a sermon series that we've been in. We've been calling it Forever. Forever. Emphasis on that number 4, and that number 4 is represented by these 4 cups that are in front of me today. And so here's what I always like to say if you're new, so if you have not been a part of this, I do my very, very best to make sure that the message can stand alone, that it can mean something to you, the individual, even if you didn't have prior installments. But if you've been tracking along with us, I believe that this has been moving the heart of our church. In fact, I would venture to say that of all the sermon series that I've ever done at Church on the Rock, I do believe this is my personal favorite. I have loved this series. I've gotten more positive feedback about this series, perhaps, than any other series that we've ever done. And here's why I think that is happening is because I think the content that we've been discussing, the scriptures that we've been searching, the things and the truths that we've been pulling out of God's word are directly in line with God's hope for mankind. And so what I think it does is I think it resonates at a deeper level because it's how God designed us. It's what God wants for us. And I think when we align ourselves with him, we always find purpose and joy, hope and peace, amen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So today what we're going to do is we're going to wrap this entire series up as we prepare to head into Easter next week, but I want to start where we've been starting. So we've started in this story of the Israelites being held in Egyptian captivity. And this is where we've begun. And here's what I've been saying. So if you haven't been here for part of the series, here's what I've been saying. That I believe that what God wanted for them then is exactly what God wants for us now. I don't think that God has changed his agenda, his mission, his hope, or his desire for his people. And in the same way that he wanted those Israelites to be brought out of slavery, and he wanted slavery to be brought out of them, and he wanted them to understand and discover their purpose, and then them to go and make a difference in the lives of other people, I believe that's exactly the agenda that he has for you and me still today. And so we've been looking at this particular scripture, Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, and it says this, "Therefore, say to the Israelites," let's pause right there for just a moment, because if you've ever seen the movies, we probably all know, at least at some level, the story of Moses going to Pharaoh, and what would he say? In a real deep voice, right? He would say, "Let my people go," right? We've been kind of having fun with that throughout this series. But he would go to Pharaoh with a message from the Lord. But in these verses, we see that he also went to God's people with a message from the Lord. And here was the promise that God would give his people through his servant Moses. And he said this, "I am the Lord." Man, that's power by itself. He said, "I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I'll free you from being slaves to them. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. And I will take you as my own people." And here's what we've discovered in this series, that those 4 I will statements are directly connected to the Jewish culture and their worship practice for thousands of years. In fact, when the Jewish people will celebrate a Passover Seder, they are celebrating that with these 4 unique cups that they partake in throughout the duration of that meal, and each of the four cups represents those four I will statements from God himself to his people. So for us, we've put it in language that is just simple to say, hopefully simple to remember. And so what I want to do, if this church is your home, this is what I've been saying. I would love for you to know this. I would love for you to memorize this, because this is what we believe God wants for you. This is what we believe God wants for me. This is what we believe God wants for every person living and breathing. They're on the screen. I want you to say them with me, everybody. Here we go. That God wants us to know God. Hang on, time out. I set you up. It's not your fault. That was my fault. Let's do this over. All right. We're going to do it together. All right. That he wants you to know God. There you go. Find freedom. Discover purpose. Make a difference. Can we do it? Can we do it one more time? He wants you to know God. Find freedom. Discover purpose. Make a difference. And so throughout this series, what we've done is we've talked about that reality in the life of believers. And so I want to do a little bit of a series recap for you, if I can, okay? So maybe you've missed an installment or two, maybe you've not been a part of the whole thing, maybe you've been tracking week after week, but it's easy because of busyness and life to just kind of forget some things. I'm going to hit the high point of all 9 installments of this series really quickly. Are you ready for it? All right, we started out this way. We started out talking about the holistic reality of these cups. And what we discussed was there's really a miracle in the middle, right? We talked about this, that this life in Christ is not a linear equation. It's not one and done. It does not go, man, I know God. I gave my life to Jesus. Now I'm a Christian. Hey, I found some freedom from some stuff. Cool. Hey, I discovered that there's a purpose for my life. I made a difference once, and now my journey is over. What we understand is that God wants us to live perpetually partaking in these four cups. That's why we've called the series Forever. It is not linear. It is not one and done. It is a perpetual cycle. Case in point, how many of you guys know that you can know God for the first time, but you can always know God more and more and more? The same is true that I can find freedom from something, but I will need to find freedom from something else and else and else. And I can discover purpose in this season, but then there will be a new season, correct? I can make a difference today. I can make a difference tomorrow. Isn't that right, everybody? And so what we've talked about in this series is that this is not linear. There's a miracle that happens in the middle. When God's people partake continually of these cups, that is where the miracle of God takes place in our lives. Then we spent 2 weeks on each individual cup, and we tunneled down a little bit. And so we talked about knowing God and what that's looked like. And we used a word, a Greek word. It's the word gnosko. I always feel bad for our interpreter when I use that word. But we use this word because this particular Greek word is a description. It's a deep, meaningful word, and it literally means to know like no other. Very personal. So the idea is that God is not way up there and I'm way down here, that he is awesome and amazing and I'm a dirty, sinful peasant. It's the idea that God says, I want to know you and I want you to know me like you know no other. I want you to know God. And we talked about it this way. We said that we could know God by knowing his word, by knowing his way. We can know his plan, and by knowing his people. Come on, that's been like a thing that we've been discussing. We talked about knowing God, and we talked about fighting what we called insiderism. We're going to fight against the idea that the church and the idea of Christ in us is so that we can create like a Christian club, and we gather on a weekly basis, and it's for us, and it's about us. No. We said we are going to fight insiderism, and we are going to shine our lights. Jesus has called us to tell the world of his goodness. Can I get an amen from those that believe it? Which is why, with Easter coming, we have printed thousands of these personal invite cards. There is nothing unique or special about this card. It's a little piece of paper, and it's got some print on it. But because studies show us that more people are more willing to show up to an Easter service than any other service of the year, and the percentage jumps dramatically when they get a personal invite from you. So when you say, hey, bro, will you meet me in the 11 a.m. service on Easter Sunday? I'd love for you to join me. They are 84% more likely to say yes to you this week than any other week in the year. That's a nice stat. So be encouraged and go evangelize in Jesus' name. Amen. Invite people to your church. We then moved on. We spent 2 weeks talking about finding freedom. And here's probably the most real thing that we've discovered is that you can be brought out of slavery and still have slavery in you. I might have been set free, but I still think like a slave and operate like a slave, and there's danger in that. So we need to be finding freedom all the time. Here's a statement that we said. God didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make all things new. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and behold, the Bible says, all things are made new, everybody. And so we talked about finding freedom not being behavioral modification. We're not trying to be better sinners. We're trying to be new creations in Christ. And in order for us to operate that way, we have to believe that way. We have to see ourselves as new creations. We have to identify with the truth of God's word and scripture in our hearts and in our lives. You're missing moments to say amen. I'm going to move on. We can identify with what the word says about us, and then if I understand that I am a son of the Most High God, and that's what I believe because that's what his word tells me, that is how I will operate. And so here's what we've said, that what you believe will determine how you behave. So if I believe I'm not good enough, if I believe I'm dirty, if I believe I'm an outcast, if I believe I'm just an old wretched sinner, I will behave that way. But if I believe that I've been redeemed, blood washed, made new in Christ, head, not the tail, beginning, not the end, I will behave that way. Amen. Amen. We then moved on in the third week and we talked about discovering purpose. And here's what I said, and I believe this with all my heart, is that purpose is less mysterious than you think. So many people get lost and caught up and like, oh, what's my purpose? And we're so afraid that if we make a wrong decision or we take a wrong step that we will have missed God and our whole lives will be meaningless. And we have just demystified that reality that purpose really isn't all that mysterious at all. In fact, we said it this way, I believe it. I believe that we all have a capital P and little p purpose. The capital P purpose is what God has called us to do as a church, like the whole church, not just Church on the Rock, like the body of Christ at large. He said, I want you to go into all the world. I want you to tell everybody the good news about me everywhere. He said, I want you to go and I want you to make disciples and I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go do it. Here's what I love. Jesus told us what to do. He didn't tell us how to do it. This is where little p purpose starts to really matter, because God put you together a certain way, because there is a way the whole church reaches, and then there's a way that you reach. Isn't that right, everybody? When we talked about little p purpose, we said this, that purpose is not measured by size, scale, or happiness. Oftentimes, we feel like we're not contributing enough because we don't have a great enough influence, because we don't have as many followers as they do, because people don't tend to magnetize toward us like they do toward her or whatever it is. And we just said that isn't true. God is going to use you in a powerful way and in a unique way, and it will have nothing to do with its grandiose magnitude or impact. If it impacts the people that God has called it to impact, if that's your children, your husband, your coworkers, whoever, it's God's purpose for you. Amen. Amen. We also talked about that you can't measure it by happiness. Because I'm telling you right now, you could be walking in purpose and be unhappy, but you might be full of the joy of the Lord. You might be in a position where you say, God, I don't understand what you have me going through, and I don't know why this is so difficult, and I'm honestly unhappy about the circumstance, but I know I'm on the right course. I know I'm doing what you've called me to do. I know that this kid will behave one day in Jesus' name, right? Come on, somebody. All the parents are like, yes, Lord, yes. Hey, we talked about this. We said that purpose has a price and a promise. If we respond to purpose in our lives, it will cost us something. It will cost us something. But there's always a prize, too. There's always a reward when we walk in obedience before the Lord. And that reward might be that you finally say, oh, my son, you came back home. I know you, right? Like, he's behaved. You're the one that was born in our house. If they're lost right now, they're probably in seventh grade. Give them about a year. They're coming back home, Mom and Dad, I promise you, okay? We've done it multiple times, three times already. We're getting there. And then the final thing we said about purpose is that we should pay attention to our design and our deposits. I said it this way, that I think the more you know you, the better off you're going to be. How did God put you together? How did he make you? You have a particular personality and interest and passions. Why? Because God did that. It's going to point to the way that God wants to use you. I'm an outgoing, talkative guy, and I'm a visionary. I can paint a picture of like the end result. I don't always know the steps to take to get us from here to there. So you know what I do? I surround myself with people that are good at that, so that they can live in their purpose and I can live in mine. Is that making sense? So your design and the way God made you, it's indicators, it's pointers of how he wants to use you to influence others. And then we talked about your deposits, and we talked about spiritual giftings, and we talked about how that isn't weird, it's biblical. God wants to give you a supernatural empowerment from what the Bible calls his great variety of spiritual giftings, and he wants to actually empower you to do what you could never do in and of yourself. He wants you to walk in his power and in his might, because let's be honest, it's really all for his glory. Amen. Amen. So let's move on. This cup right here is a very interesting cup. I've been so excited to talk about this one for the whole series, and it'll get the least amount of attention. Imagine that. But to be honest with you, I don't think it needs a grandiose explanation, because I think that as we start to know God more, and as we start to find freedom, and as we start to discover purpose, this cup that is known as the cup of praise or the cup of fulfillment, this cup starts to make an awful lot more sense along the way, because this cup we will probably begin to partake in before we even know we've had a sip. It's the cup of praise. It's making a difference. I want you to notice in the text, in Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, that there's all these statements that God gives to Moses to tell his people. He says, I'm going to take you out of there, and I'm going to set you free, and I am going to redeem you. And then in the final statement, you can throw it on the screen for me, Rob, if you want to. He says, I will take you as my own. I want you to notice this very important highlighted word, people. I'm going to make you a people. Let me explain a little bit. Because listen to me, whoever you are and wherever you are in your journey of faith, interest toward God, I know that we have a variety of people in this room. Some of you are just full, all-in, committed followers of Jesus. Some of you, you're just doing your best and trying to figure this thing out. Some of you, you have your hands up because you're skeptical about it all, and you're like, I'm not even there yet, I don't really know. Some of you might be here today, and you're like, I ain't having none of this stuff. I'm only here because she asked me, and we're going to lunch after this. I have no idea where you are. But here's what I want to tell you. That the cup of fulfillment, the cup of praise, you'll never drink experience alone. You and I have been designed by God to operate, to live, to function in community. It's why your house is 8 feet from your neighbor's. That's why. It's why we accumulate. If you just drone up and you'll just look at a landscape, you'll see huge blocks of like forest and trees, and then there's like 83 houses and a half acre. Why? We're designed to live life in community. Here's the thing, we do it naturally. Let me go a step further. We all want to be a part of something bigger than us. It's why you root for your favorite sports team. It's why you're so committed to your political party. It's why you want to be a part of the club that you're in. It's why you talk to golf people because you're a golfer. It's why you associate with certain people because you're designed that way. And the fact of the matter is, God built you to be in community. And one of the greatest temptations and battles against the church is that our adversary, who exists, by the way, Satan, is working to get us away from this cup and in isolation. Because the Israelite people came out of a life where all they knew and all they understood was everything was told to them, dictated to them, given to them. They did not know how to live free. And when God set them free from that Egyptian captivity and takes them on that wilderness journey, and we looked at that weeks ago, that God took them the long way on purpose. It's because God needed to teach his people how to walk with him and how to walk with each other. They didn't even know how to handle possessions because they'd never had them before. Now all of a sudden, I got to figure out how to live in community. And we're like, well, this is mine. Well, no, I think that's mine. Well, no, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, the law of God begins to be produced in that wilderness experience so that God's people can fully understand how to walk with him and how to walk with each other. And I would submit to you today that nothing has changed. In fact, I would go a step further, and I would say that we make the greatest difference together. When we start operating together, we naturally start making a difference. God has called us outside of ourselves. Can I just give you a little tip? If you're struggling with inner turmoil, if you've got some things going on in the inside of you, there's inner talk, there's like a battle on the inside of you, maybe anxiety, depression, those things are very, very real things, and those things are very much like anchors on the soul. I would recommend to find a way to think of others. Get outside of yourself. Start making a difference, because what Satan wants you to do is only think of you, only live for you, only pay attention to you. What God wants for you is to think of others and to live for them and to be selfless. It's who he's called us to be. Amen, everybody? And I was just thinking about it as a church, and I was thinking about how God uses us. And, you know, we're so blessed around here at this church. I mean, just honestly, somebody said to me, like, I think this is the best church in the world. They said it today. And I'm like, I think you're right. Like, I absolutely agree with you. And that's not a knock on any other church, because I love the whole church. It's just that I love this one best. I love you. Like, when I get around you guys, like you, and by the way, I think being in a high school further proves the church is not a location or a building. It really reinforces that the church is us. And there's something about connectivity, and there's something about being together, and there's something about life in community that is life-giving, that takes us to the next level, that does things inside of us that we could never achieve or accomplish on our own. In fact, I wrote the exact quote of one of our team members this morning, not knowing the context of my message today. This is what he said. He said, you don't know how unconnected you are until you're connected. And then he said, this is a very connected place. I was like, bro, I'm going to write this down because I'm going to preach about that today. Hang on one second. Say that one more time. Man, I love this church because we're so connected. And you really don't know how disconnected you are until you are connected. And I think that is true, especially if you've experienced that. And I know for the 11 of us in our life group, we're living that. Come on, let me hear the Misfits right quick. Yeah, all right. That's my guys right there. It's my life group, everybody. Okay. We have been experiencing life together in connectivity that's taking us to deeper levels of our faith. It's taking us to higher heights in our walk with God, and it is building friendships that will last a lifetime. One more amen from y'all. It's my dudes. I love y'all. But I was thinking about it, and I was just thinking, man, all the things that we do together and the things that we get to accomplish and achieve together, I want you to think about this. The fact that our church can distribute together tens of thousands of dollars every single year in local, national, and international partnerships and outreach and missions. And God may not have called you to put your feet on the dirt and on the soil of an unreached people group in Africa, but he has called us to it, and because of you, we can do it. And because of your generosity and the way that you give and buy into the vision of this church, and because of you just being a part of this family, you're making a difference there, and you might not even know that you are, but we're better together because we're drinking from this cup of praise. I think about the things that we get to do and experience, and the people that we get to interact with, and the people that we get to serve. Our outreach team was out yesterday, just making a difference in our community. I think of some of the things that we get to do with organizations in our area, where we get to go and serve and give and help people. Like a month or two ago, our outreach team was just at a nursing home, and they just played games, prayed with people, spent a little time, sang some songs, whatever it was. Why? Because we have the opportunity to make a difference in people's lives. And when we do it together, we make a bigger difference together than we ever could apart. Isn't that right, everybody? And around our church this year, there's kind of become this mantra. sort of a like a rally cry, if you will. And what we've been saying is, man, God is on the move. And I want to contextualize that a little bit, if you've not heard that before. The context for that is this, that the truth of the matter is, God is on the move. And here's what we've discovered, and this really came from a place of my personal revelation late last year on a deer hunt, honestly, where it was like, God was like, hey, you know, because I'm the pastor, right? Like, I am the CPS. I am the chief problem solver of this organization. And I think of the problems all the time, and I think of everything that needs to improve, and where are we the weakest, and what's the lowest hole in the cup? Can we plug that and elevate the volume a little bit, like constantly? And so if I'm not careful, that's all I ever see. And it was like a little awakening, and God was like, hey, man, I'm on the move at Church on the Rock. And it was like, well, yeah, because all of a sudden stories and thoughts and people like you start coming into my mind, and I'm going, yeah, you are. Like, you are in an incredible way. And I just came back to the staff, and I'm like, man, I kind of had this moment. It was awesome. And it's just kind of, it's like a fire in the church. Like, it's just sort of spread. I've not necessarily tried to perpetuate it with intentionality, but I have been proclaiming it. Like, look around you. God is on the move. And here's the reality. Here's the reality that we tend to find what we're looking for. So what we've done is remind ourselves to look for the move of God in our church. And when you look for it, you see it. And you see it in him and her and them and that group and that opportunity. And you just see it. And the stories begin to be told of the things that are taking place in people's hearts and in people's lives. And you say to yourself, man, God is really on the move. And so a couple of weeks ago, we had a celebration, we called it. And we were just celebrating our volunteers. And so we have more than 200 who, in the last 6 months, individuals who have checked in to serve with us at our church, to which some of you guys right now, you're like, oh, cool, man, I was going to serve, but I don't need to. Whoa. Because those 224 of them actually would love to say, like, hey, I'd like to have an extra week off every once in a while, join the team, everybody, because we're better together. And we had what we called a serve team celebration. And the entire night was just to celebrate those that make a difference with us in this church, make a difference in our community, that do the things that we do. And so those that serve here, I know that people make a difference in all kinds of ways, but those that volunteer to help us make happen all the things that we do, we asked them a couple of questions on their registration. One of the questions we asked was like, hey, how have you seen God on the move? How are you seeing it? Because again, we want to remind ourselves, look for God's move because he's moving. And I would love to, if I may, I just want to read to you just a few responses. Is that okay? Just from people in our church. There's only one who I actually know who it is, and it's because I've deduced it by just knowing them pretty closely. But all the others, I have no idea who wrote these words. One of our team members said this. Oh, I see God on the move in our kids' ministry. It's flourishing. I'm encouraged to hear our little people recall the details of the big God story week after week. The big God story in Camp Rock Kids is like the message part, basically. That's what they call it. God's word is taking root and not returning void. Someone else said, I see God on the move when the students at youth are raising their arms in worship. He's on the move. Another team member said, I've seen God on the move at Church on the Rock simply through the love everyone has for each other. My first Sunday at Church on the Rock, even while knowing no one, I felt so loved, wanted, and cared for. And I'm like, that's who we want to be. To everybody, join me today in All Access, and I will emphasize my heart for people. Amen. God is on the move at Church on the Rock because I feel better. I see things better. I think better. And he's doing so much miraculous things in my life. This person says, I've seen his move in my own walk. I've grown so much in my faith since walking in the doors of Church on the Rock. I've experienced God listening and responding to my prayers and experienced crazy things that some would call coincidences, but I know that they are the sovereign hand of God at work. I've seen so many lives changed, people healed, addictions broken, and relationships restored. Honestly, it seems harder to not see God on the move than to see how he's moving in our church. And then the last one, how have you seen God on the move at Church on the Rock? And this person said, it's the place I found salvation. I think that's the point, by the way. They go on to say, it was the place where not only was my marriage saved, but we grow further in a godly love and marriage every day. Man. They go on to say, it's the place where I've experienced miraculous healing and believe more is on the way. They continue to say, it's the place I've seen the prayers of so many others answered. And then they finish by saying, I loved this one so much. It's the place I see the smiles on attendees' faces when they walk in the door each week. His love is so obvious and infectious. And I love it. I just love it. And I'm like, look, this is just reinforcement that we are, in fact, better together. And so we're gonna end our service in a little bit of a unique way. I want to reinforce what I just said. I probably took a little too much time there, but I want to reinforce it with Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. And here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, I'll do it with y'all. It's more fun this way. Just as each of us has one body, with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Here's what I would say is the thematical overtone, in my opinion, of this entire series, that it is imperative, those of us that are in Christ Jesus, that we learn to walk with God, and we learn to walk with God's people. Those of you that might be inconsistent and being connected, I would challenge you today. I would challenge you to change that. Do something about it. Stop slipping in and slipping out on Sunday, intentionally not talking to people. You're probably missing some of the greatest friendships you'll ever experience. Can I be bold with you this morning? Stop saying you're too busy to be in a group. We're all busy. Life is busy. But we can make choices about what we do with our time. And I just believe that walking with God's people should be one of the utmost priorities in our lives, because I don't think we can walk with God without them. And I think the more you know God, the more you start to learn and experience that reality, that the truth is, this imperfect person needs that imperfect person. That imperfect person sees what I can't see, prays for me when I'm weak, encourages me when I'm up, they celebrate when I'm winning, they cry when I'm down. The interaction of real, like, real, genuine connection, where you sort of peel the curtain back and say, this is embarrassing, but this is who I am, and this is some of what I deal with, and I'm struggling with this, I'm battling that. And here's the best part, is when the other person peels the curtain back and you go, oh, I'm not alone? You mean you too? And all of a sudden there's a strength because of community. There's something to have in this cup that is incredibly powerful, that Satan's trying to keep us from. That God is like, if you know me, you'll know my people. If you know me, you'll find freedom. If you know me, you'll discover purpose. If you know me, you'll make a difference. Come on, I'm just saying, we should know God's people. I want to call all of our band, if they would, just start making their way out, because we're about to receive communion together this morning. And I want to show you something in Scripture that I think is very, very powerful and very, very specific to this fourth cup, the cup of praise. Or as some call it, the cup of freedom. I want to show you in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 through 29. This would be the night that Jesus is betrayed to head toward the cross. He's having the Passover meal with his disciples, where all four of these cups would have been represented. In this time together, Jesus and the disciples would have together, in a Passover celebration, drank from the first cup. And then later in the celebration, they would have drank from the second cup. And later on in that celebration, they would have drank from the third cup. And where we're about to pick up is Jesus leading his disciples into the consumption of the fourth cup. And here's how it goes. While they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body." And I want you to notice verse 27. Then he took the cup. I would like to hold that cup. And he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, I want you to notice what he says. "Drink from it, all of you." I want to emphasize that exact part. Jesus says, "This cup, drink from it, all of you." There's some high priority in that language and in those words. It's interesting to me, it has nothing to do with my point right now, that Judas is at that table. And Jesus said, "Judas, drink from it, all of you." Boy, if I could preach right there. All the people that we don't think deserve that cup, and we have no idea what we're talking about. We need to be set free in and of ourselves. Everybody drinks from that cup. "Drink from it," he says, "all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." I tell you, watch what Jesus says. "I tell you, I will not drink from the fruit of this vine from now until the day when I drink it with you anew in my Father's kingdom." Check it out. Jesus said, "Drink from it, all of you. But I won't be having any. Because one day, there's going to be a celebration. And there's going to be a fulfillment." Of all that I've been doing, one day, I'll drink from that cup with you. And then Jesus, rather than consume it, goes the next day and pours it out for us. And as we think about that today, the shed blood and the broken body of Christ Jesus that we would celebrate in this week, that opened the door and paved the way for us, Judas, to have the opportunity to put our faith in the only one who can save us. He gave us that right by pouring that cup out for us. But he says, "I want you to drink it, and I want all of you to drink it. I want you to remember. I want you to remember me, who is the body of Christ. You are. And some of us are dismembered, separated, isolated." And Jesus says, "Drink from this cup, all of you." And so for those of you that think you're unworthy, guess what? You are. Me too. And still Jesus said, "Drink from this cup, all of you." Those of you that have written yourselves off, those of you that have just run from God, drink from this cup. all of you. I want to invite you to stand with me all across the auditorium. Here's what we're going to do. The Bible encourages us, before we receive communion, to reflect on ourselves. And we're going to go into a powerful moment of worship. And in this moment, I want you and I to reflect on ourselves. And think about you and think about Christ and your relationship to Him and what does that look like. And I would love for you to just look internally. And for those of us that know where we stand with Jesus, our faith is in Him. And because of His broken body and shed blood, we have a personal relationship with Him. The words to this song will probably mean a lot to you. For those that maybe that's not true, the words of these songs, this song is something to strongly consider as you reflect on you. Father, as we go into this moment, Lord, we invite you to have your work in us. Do your thing in us. God, bring us into a place of reflection so that we can be sure about taking this cup and all of us drinking from it today, I pray. In Jesus' name, let's worship together for a few moments.
Strength indeed.
those moments that we had to reflect on ourselves and our relationship toward Jesus. I would propose that there are some of us, maybe in this room or even tuning in online, and what you discovered is that you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus. There's a separation there. I'm here to give you good news that the gospel of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice was good for you once and for all time. If it mattered for me, it mattered for you. That's just the way that it is. And what I want to say to you is that the separation, the chasm between you and God no longer has to exist. There's a bridge that was built between where you are and where God is, and his name is Jesus. He paid the way for you. In fact, he said it this way: I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Listen to me. This is why Jesus is the most significant person in the human history. He matters more than anything else. He's the centerpiece of civilization. And after that reflection, there are some of you that understand, maybe for the first time, I need to put my faith in him. And so if that's you, I'm going to lead you in a very simple prayer. I'm going to ask everybody across this auditorium, if you would, to bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you're a part of our church family, you know kind of what's about to happen. I'm going to lead you in a prayer that you can repeat after me. And I want you to know something. The prayer isn't special. What's happening in your heart means everything. These are just words, but what's happening is something supernatural between you and an everlasting Father who gave his son for you. And so, church family, all of us, I'm going to ask you to say this out loud with me, because I believe there are people in this room and tuning in online, you're going to say it for the very first time. And here it goes. I want you to say, "Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen." Listen, congratulations if you just said that prayer for the first time. Congratulations. Yeah, we have a little bit of a culture, and that culture is to celebrate you. But here's why I did our salvation prayer before communion. Because this is for those in this faith in Jesus. This is irrelevant to those outside of it, the partaking of communion. But now that you're in the family, I'd love for you to join us in this celebration and this remembrance of who Christ is for us, because you just received the meaning of this moment. So I'd love for you, if you could bring the lights up for me, team. I want to make sure people can see. You got these little communion cups, and if you do not have one, please just start waving your hand, and our ushers will make their way towards you as quickly as possible. I see people down here, right in the center, right back here. Yeah, I'm going to give it just a moment. Anybody else? Just high and proud, right down front. My left, your right. Got one right here. You guys are up. Man, our team is amazing. I love you guys so much. Thank you for your effort. All the way down front. Very good, very good. Anybody else? Everybody good to go? I can't see in the balcony. I hope you guys are, everybody covered up there? All right. So if you would, the lights are up so you can see there's two layers on this cup. I'd love for you to go ahead and just peel the top one. That opens up the wafer. And then let's go ahead together, peel that second one. Just be ready. We're going to say a prayer together. And then we're going to partake of both of these together as a family to remember, right? Father, all of us in this room, those tuning in online, we're so thankful, Lord God, for Jesus and what he gave to us in his broken body and in his shed blood. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. I thank you so much that you were obedient to the cross, you were obedient to the grave, and you're obedient to walk out of that tomb. And the empty tomb for us is the power in that reality. But Father, we understood what you did for us on that cross and its significance. And in this moment, after reflection, after some of us stepping into a relationship with you for the first time, after some of us, Lord God, just reflecting on ourselves and realigning some things, we come together and we drink from this cup, all of us, because we know that it was good for us. Let's go ahead and partake of those elements. God is so good, everybody. I want to say thank you for just being part of this church. Thank you for hearing the heartbeat of this series. What I'm going to do is I'm going to close this in prayer here in just a moment. Though all of you now have trash in your hands, right? So here's what we're going to ask you. As you exit the auditorium, there will be trash cans out in the lobbies. They're kind of everywhere. And I would just encourage you to find a trash can, drop one of these in. If you cannot find a trash can, find a serve team member wearing one of our shirts. They're black. You just hand it to them. They'll take care of it for you. They are unbelievable servants of the Most High, and they would love to take care of that for you. But I would just encourage you, if you would, just find a trash can. As we close, I know people are ready to move them. We're going to be done in about 2 minutes. As we close, I just want to thank those of you that call this church home and your generosity. That means you know how to give here. Most of you give electronically and online, but others of you, there are green boxes in the back at the end of these two aisles. Also, if you were with us today and you made a decision of life change, or you want to register for baptisms coming in a couple of weeks, I would highly recommend that you let us know on that connection card that you were given. And if you're like, well, I didn't get one, they are right in that lobby, right outside those two doors. And then in the back of these aisles are green boxes. You can drop those in there, and that's how you would register. That's how you would let us know. If you have a prayer need, let us know. Write it down. It's our honor to pray with you. Amen, everybody? I know that's some like housekeeping things, but these are important things. We want to know if you've made a decision for Jesus. We want you to take your next step in baptism, and we want to pray in agreement with what you're believing God for. Amen? I'm going to pray now, and then as soon as we end this service, at the end of that prayer, there will be prayer partners down here at the front. If you need individual prayer, they would love to pray with you for whatever your need may be. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this great day. Thank you for this outstanding church. Thank you for the privilege that we have to be a part of your family, to be a part particularly of this one. And so, Father, I just pray for every person in this room, every person tuning in online, everybody that's connected to our church. Thank you for sacrifice. Thank you for Holy Week. And our attention gets to lean in to what you did in this week for us. It's the most significant thing in our lives. And so I just pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that we would keep you at the forefront of our mind this week. And I pray that we would give those invitations to those people, Lord God, that need the hope of Jesus. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I love you guys. Thanks for being at church with us today. Prayer down front if you need it.